Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
We're talking about table talk today. Turn to your neighbor and say, table talk. Let's get that in your brain, table talk. And you need to understand a huge portion, everybody, of the most transformative moments of Jesus's life on earth happened around a table and a conversation. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to unpack this, because the church is designed to have a rhythm, and the rhythm is the temple, that's this, and the table. So do not forsake the temple. Do not forsake worshiping with the saints. Do not forsake the preaching of the Word of God. Can I say to every parent, show your kids the rhythm of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven has a rhythm, and it's the temple worshiping every week, and it's the table eating together, fellowship. And you need to know that incredible things can happen when we bring Jesus into the center of our conversations. That when our tables are a place that we don't just see as something off to the side, but actually they are the place God might want to use more than any other place in your life to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. So I am so excited for the next 4 weeks. Next week can be really special. We have Sam Picken from C3 Toronto in Canada. He's going to be preaching about tables of resurrection. And so that's going to be an incredible week next week. Then we've got 3 weeks after that, we're going to talk about mental health. We're going to talk about spirituality, crystals, mystics, and psychics. Can I get an amen? And we're gonna talk about friendship, and we want to talk about these everyday things and bring Jesus into the center of these everyday things, so that everyday conversations you're going to have at the table can have Jesus at the center. And so we're going to have an incredible lead into Christmas season. Oh, Christmas is going to be so good. But I am so excited. Today, all I want to do today is help you get the revelation of how significant the table is. So Lord, pray with me, everybody. It's going to be a really long prayer. Lord, show us the significance of the table. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen. Thank Frankie. We love you, Frank. Very handsome. Get out of here. Did he like flex or like, he's stopper? Yeah. He's so handsome. So, you know, in the Bible, there was not like a table like this. They actually sat in like horseshoe-like tables, and they were actually on the ground. They actually sat around the table like with their legs crossed, and I would need to stretch for about 7 days to be able to do that. This dad bod, amen. And so I was amazed learning that they actually didn't sit at seats. They sat around the table, and it was very intimate. It was very raw. There was no like facades. It's just all the barriers are down around the table. Maybe they had cushions, maybe they didn't. But the Last Supper table was like this. And the table in the Bible is the place of the meal and eating together, and it is central to the spiritual life of the people in the Bible and in the church today. New Testament scholar N.T. Wright, he wrote this: when Jesus himself wanted to explain to his disciples what his forthcoming death was all about, he didn't give them a theory. He gave them a meal. Come on, don't you love Jesus, all the foodies? He gave them a meal. Tim Chester states, Jesus' mission strategy was a long meal. Amen. Stretching into the evening. He did, listen, evangelism and discipleship around a table over some grilled fish. Anybody like fish? A loaf of bread and a pitcher of wine. Amen. Robert Caris states in Luke's gospel, Jesus is either going to a meal, at a meal, or coming from a meal. I mean, this guy loves food. God loves food, everybody. He's right into it. The hospitality industry is God's industry. The world has taken God out of it, but God came up with hospitality. And I'm believing for a hospitality revival. Yeah, I'm believing for a revival of hospitality in the church where Jesus is at the center of our hospitality. Because everybody, you can get content online, all right? Amen? But you can't get communion online. You can't get real fellowship online. We need the Spirit. Do you know hospitality is a spiritual gift? It's not just a practical thing. People think the home team, you know, it's just like real practical. Can I tell you, if you're on the home team, shout out. We love you. That's the gift of hospitality. It's the gift of hospitality. And guess what? You don't have to have the gift to move in the spirit of hospitality. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is all about hospitality. When Jesus is at the center of our hospitality, you have the kingdom of God on earth. Eating was such a huge part of Jesus' ministry that he had a reputation. Everyone talked about Jesus. And you know what they said about him? Read it in Matthew 11, 18 to 19. Come with me. Go to Matthew 11, 18 to 19. This is amazing. He had a reputation. In verse 18, it says, for John the Baptist, came neither eating nor drinking. They were complaining. He came neither eating nor drinking. And they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, he is a glutton, a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But Jesus said, wisdom is proved right by her deeds. What's the fruit of it? Not what's people's opinion of it, what's the fruit of it? Jesus came to serve. He did not come to be served. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. How did he do it? He did it by eating and drinking with people. His strategy to fulfill his purpose was to have meals with people. And we think that the only way to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth means you need a stage and a mic. But Jesus did not model it. Jesus modeled a life where he was in the temple worshiping and he was at the table eating. Theologian Christine Pohl, she says, a shared meal is the activity most closely tied to the reality of God's kingdom, just as it is the most basic expression of hospitality. If table fellowship is a spiritual discipline that is vital for shaping and sustaining our life with God for the world, we need to make a point to share our tables with people who are in our lives but far from God. This was one of the most distinctive aspects of Jesus' ministry. We read through scripture, the table was a place of blessing and abundance and miracles. The wedding at Cana in John 2, feeding the 5,000 in Luke 9. The table was a place of forgiveness and salvation. Matthew, the tax collector, Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector. The table was a place of restoration. Peter denies Jesus 3 times. Jesus says, sit down, have some fish, and let me restore you. And he restored him over a meal. The table was a place of hard conversations and correction where Jesus would speak very truthfully with love, but Pharisees were at the table. Jesus had his enemies at the table. He said, hey, you want to talk about me? Come. Come and sit. Let's talk. And he would bring truth around the table. Jesus was not afraid of proximity. A religious spirit tries to create distance. But the Spirit of God creates proximity. A spirit of religion says, well, I need to keep that away at arm's length. Jesus says, come on over. Come on over, let's eat. Let's talk. Come on over. This is the Holy Spirit. The table was a place of revelation. In Luke 24, 28 to 31. Look at this. So they draw near. This is the road to Emmaus. They draw near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. This is Jesus in his resurrected form. Listen, when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This place is a place of revelation. This is not just a place to eat, it's a place to eat and see Jesus revealed in people's lives. The table was a central part of the early church. Like I said, they gathered in the temple and the table, they did it daily. The table is a picture of the kingdom of heaven, which is and is to come. The great banquet we read about in Luke 14. Jesus puts out an invite. He puts out the first round of invites and everyone responds, ah, too busy, I can't come, I got this, I got that, I can't come. He puts out a second round of invites to people that are unlikely, the people that are broken, the people that are lost, the people that don't fit. He put out a second invite and they were the ones that came to the great banquet. This is a prophetic picture of Gentiles being brought into the family of God. In the family of God, in heaven, can I tell you, you're going to be shocked who you're sitting across the table from. You're going to be sitting across some people who you know lived a life that's maybe crazy, but somewhere they encountered Jesus and gave their life to Christ, and they will be sitting at the table. This is the great banquet of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is going to be a feast. Who's pumped about it? We're going to be eating for eternity. I love it. Can I tell you, some of the most impacting moments in my life have been with Pastor Phil at a table. Some of the most incredible moments where I've gleaned and heard and had revelation wasn't just on us. It was at a table. The table is a powerful thing. One of my favorite moments every fortnight is Connect Group. Ah! I love it. I love it. And at Connect Group, I mean, it's so good. We've got people that are like super fresh, you know, like they're cool, but they're fresh to Jesus. We got people that have been walking with God for quite a while. And the conversation is so incredible that we get to talk about the scripture and unpack the word of God together and to see what God is doing at different stages of people's journey with Christ is the most wonderful thing. It is the kingdom of God on earth. Connect Group is the kingdom of God on earth, everybody. It is the kingdom of God on earth. And you need to understand that Jesus typically ate with people that were followers and foreign to the kingdom. He didn't have two tables. He didn't have a believer's table. Okay, you believers, yep, disciples, come gather around. This is your table. Sit here, talk. You, foreigner to the kingdom. He didn't say that, but you, tax collector, you have your table. And you sit there, and you sit there, and I'll just mitigate what's happening here in the middle. He didn't do that. He had both at the table. He had both sitting there eating with each other. This is the power of the kingdom of heaven coming to earth. And a religious spirit wants to divide. a religious spirit says, "Ah, I'm a bit uncomfortable with that." Yeah, it is a bit uncomfortable. But that's the Jesus we follow. He had them all at the table. And he didn't hold back. He talked about the truth of the kingdom. He loved on them. I mean, how could Jesus do this? You know how he could do this? It's because he is both grace and truth. Grace and truth. He's not 50% grace and 50% truth. He is fully grace 100% and fully truth 100%. Grace that connects us, truth that sets us free. He is both grace that says, "I am going to make a way for you." Can I tell you, grace is not the lowering of the bar. Grace is not the lowering of the standard. Grace is the power to live up to the standard. Grace is the enabling power of God to do what truth demands. Jesus had both grace, ridiculous, scandalous. The Pharisees were talking, "Can you believe this guy? He's got a chief tax collector. He's gone to his house. What's wrong with him? That is scandalous. Tell everyone." He had that kind of grace. And then at the same time, he had such uncompromising truth. He was not tolerant. He was not just everything's fine. He had truth at the table, but he had grace and truth in full measure. And two key tables, I want everybody, listen to me, two key tables, I want you to be activated in this church. Number one is the Connect Group table. We are not building lots of programs and lots of events. We have a few events that support our mission as a church. Otherwise, we are focused on this rhythm. Temple, table, temple, table. And here's the thing. I want you to be at the table of Connect Group if you call this church your home. Be at that table every fortnight. Find a way. Do you know, I mean, it's not easy. We have two kids. I got two kids. It's not easy. Every second Wednesday, it comes round like flipping so quick. And we got to juggle, Jess and I, like Jess has Poppy and Oaks, and then I drive by, I have my Connect Group, and then I drive by and she throws the kids in the car as I'm driving. No, I'm joking. I know it's logistical, it's a bit tricky, but can I tell you, of all the things we organize to be at, of all the things in our world that we rearrange for sport and for parties and for things, why would we not rearrange our lives to worship Jesus and to be at the table, fellowshipping, growing? The 64 one another's in Scripture happen at the table of Connect Group, where we have hospitality. We talk about the Word of God that we've been preaching in the week, and then we pray for one another's needs, and we pray for the lost people in our world that we're believing for. Shout out to Steve and Simone, who run an incredible Connect Group. They just ran it. Come on, give it up for the Bullens. They just had five new beautiful people to Connect Group just the other night. Guys, let's make our lives reflect the rhythm of the kingdom. Looks like being at the table. The table of Connect Group, and here's the other one, the table in your home. The table in your home is a place where you can include people. And I want to ask you this summer, spring, summer, I want to ask you to ask the Holy Spirit, "Lord, who can I bring to my table? With wisdom, good judgment, but who could you bring?" God's not calling you to reach everyone, everyone. Listen, God's not calling you to reach everyone, but who is he calling you to? And if it's one person, get on your knees and say, "Lord, how can I make space at our table?" I got people in my world this summer. Jess, I haven't planned it yet with Jessen, but babe, we're going to plan this, just so you know. It's going to be awesome. You're going to make such a good meal. I'm joking. I will clean up. But I got about like five people that I'm on my knees saying, Lord, just in conversation, some are neighbors, but I want to have them at the table in our home. Just need to get it renovated, okay? Who can you have? You know, like this church, this is how this church started. It didn't actually start with this, right? It started at a table. Pastor Phil and Chris, the spirit of hospitality, just flowing out, all sorts of people at the same table. Church, you are the ministers in this city. You are the saints called to spread the good news of the gospel. How do you do it? You don't have to do it for everyone. You don't have to be a street preacher. God bless them. You don't have to have a stage and a mic, but you have a table. If you don't, I'll buy you one. Get a table. You've got one. Make room at your table. Four quick tips. You ready for table talk? Four quick tips. Number one, make and prepare the space. You don't rock up when other people are rocking up. You get there before them. Amen. And you prepare the space. Schedule, be intentional. Prepare the space. Can I tell you? Lower the pressure. If you're thinking like, oh, I've got to cook this unbelievable, I've got to do all this work for this meal, make it simple, but just make it prepared. Number two tip for good table talk is ask questions. Ask brave questions. Like, hey, do you have a faith? Or what do you believe about God? And then don't insert your answer. Some of us say, what do you believe about God? Well, let me tell you. No, you ask them. And then when someone talks about God and it's like, what? Don't say what. Say, wow. Why are you trying to shut it down? Don't shut it down. Say, wow. That's really interesting. Wow. Tell me more. What's been your experience of God? Maybe they've had a bad experience of God. If you're here today, maybe you've had a bad experience of God. Hey, welcome. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the reality of imperfection. You're looking at it. Church would be perfect if there was no people. But you're here. And I'm here. Ask questions. Number three, I kind of said it. Listen more than you speak. Here's a really good tip. Create a safe space, not a debate space. Create a safe space, not a debate space. It's not a debate zone. It's a safe zone to talk about God. And here's the thing. Get out of the way. Honestly, just get out of the way. I mean, we love you. You're awesome. But get out of the way. You know who's really good at this? The Holy Spirit and the Word of God. You don't have to have a degree in this and degree in that. Just allow the Holy Spirit. Pray before, pray after, and create room. Listen. Here's the other thing. Invite people different from you. Invite people that are different from you. Invite people that you're like, ooh, that could be awkward. Go for it. Make room. Can I say you generationally? Make room that are different to your age and stage. If you're young, invite the older. If you're older, invite the younger. Don't be thinking, oh, well, you know, those young people, they just want to hang out with their young friends. Rubbish. Young people are desperate to be at a table that they haven't had in their upbringing, where there's a spiritual mother and father loving on them, encouraging them, showing them interest, being interested in them. Invite people that are different to you. So number one, guys, join a group, connect group straight after this service, or start a connect group. It's not too late. Don't think the year's nearly over. Start one for the summer and then bring it into the new year. Second thing is open up the table in your home this summer. Let's have a revival of hospitality. which is one of the greatest pictures of the kingdom of God on earth. Amen. Everybody band, you can join me, worship team. You know, one of the great stories that I mentioned is Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. He wasn't just a tax collector, he was the chief. So if tax collectors were hated, this guy was hated by the people that were hated. Everyone hated Zacchaeus. And it says that he wanted to see Jesus. So he climbed up a tree, a sycamore tree, climbed up. And Jesus, in a crowd of people like this, he's walking around. And the one person he stops for and says, hey, you, I must come to your house today. One person. He was the least of the least, the most hated. And who was Jesus there for? He was there for Zacchaeus.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.